So, it is one of the best, most popular, best-known things on the internet. And I'm guessing that none of you here know about it. But that's okay, because it kind of gets its fame from dealing with things that no one knows. So every month, over 3 million people go to the website postsecret.com to view what complete strangers have found too intimate to share with other people in their lives. This site, which was voted best blog of 2007, and consistently shows up as one of the most popular sites in the country, started in 2003 when its founder, Frank Warren, literally had a dream about postcards. A year later, Frank Warren went on the streets of Washington, D.C. and invited people to share with him the most intimate secrets of their lives. He stood outside the Capitol handing out postcards that he had written instructions on. And those rules for submissions are the same that he uses for his website today. Here's what they sound like. You are invited to anonymously contribute a secret to a group art project. Your secret can be a regret, fear, betrayal, a great desire, confession, or childhood humiliation. Reveal anything, as long as A, it's true, and B, you've never told anyone else. So now, in one week, Warren receives at his house over 1,000 postcards, each of which he reads, and every one holds the secrets of a complete stranger. I went to his website and read some of his books, and when I started looking at the submissions, I was really surprised at the variety of experiences people were willing to share. The ones that he publishes range from a funny childhood memory to maybe an experience of deep trauma. I brought just a few of the examples of the postcards to share with you today. Now, I chose this one as first because it was relevant to our context today, but I don't think that anyone in this room could possibly relate to it. Here goes. When other people pray at church, I bow my head and think about TV shows I want to watch. Like I said, nobody here. Another submission says, I pretend to know French because I'm in love with a girl who does. Many of the cards that are sent to his websites reveal how hard it can be to show a false self to the world. One person wrote this, sometimes I romanticize my roots, maybe more ethnic or more blue collar, so that I can be more interesting at chic cocktail parties. I am a good liar. Although some of the secrets are a little more shocking. Quote, everyone who knew me before 9/11 thinks I'm dead. Still, many of the other secrets give voice to the complex emotions that I'm sure a lot of us have felt, but are sometimes ashamed to admit. One of the recent postings from a couple of weeks ago was sent on the back of a picture of an infant in a hospital bed. And it says, after my son was born, I secretly wished that he would die so that I could have my life back. Now I would give my life if he was alive. I never knew I could love someone so much. It's hard to read a lot of the postcards that are on the website. A lot of them show people's great embarrassment or fear. Some of them have violence or crime. Some of them are vague. A lot of them just say, I'm sorry, or I forgive you. And others are surprisingly direct. One was sent in on a picture of soldiers storming into a building, and the person wrote, I will never in my life be as good at anything else as I am at killing people. In the midst of all this, though, I have to tell you that what surprised me most about reading these cards was that often it's not people's fears or their embarrassment that are their greatest secret. Just as often, it's the people's greatest inspirations, the things that they carry joy in their hearts about, the things they want to do, the things they're most proud of, that are also the biggest secrets they have. One of my favorite cards says this, sometimes, secretly, I actually enjoy life. Another hopeful one says, I believe I will accomplish something truly great in this lifetime, and I will be 53 tomorrow. So what am I doing airing these people's secrets as part of a sermon? Well, I think for me, one of the great secrets of life that I often fail to acknowledge is that there's so much going on underneath the surface of what we can see. As Unitarian Universalists, we inherited a tradition that says, don't take the easy answer. The simple solution isn't the right one, and there's more truth to be found. In theological terms, they used to say, revelation is not sealed. Maybe we just say, we don't know everything yet. In our religious lives, it's really easy for us here sometimes to say, we don't know everything. And I have to admit that I use those terms all the time when I'm talking about God or ethics or a million other religious topics, but I sometimes find it hard to admit that I don't know what's going on with a friend or a family member. Anyone else? When I read the secrets of these people's lives splashed up on a screen, it reminded me that everyone's life is so complex. There's so much going on in the person sitting next to you in the pew that we will never know about. Warren put it this way, I have been astonished by the frailty and heroism I see in the secrets of ordinary people like you and me, living our everyday lives. I don't think I'm jumping out on a limb if I say that I'm not the only person here who's pretty quick to make assumptions about people's behavior. I can draw conclusions with the best of them. It doesn't always have to be profound. Often it's I got cut off on the highway, or somebody in a store was rude to me, or my friend gave an offhand remark that I don't understand and didn't ask for clarification about. It sounds really simple, and almost I'm embarrassed to say something that sounds so cliche from a pulpit, but when I realize the complexity of the lives of people around me, the hopes and fears that are within them, it radically changes the way that I interact with them. If we know that we've all got secrets, it just changes things. In his essay, Experience, Ralph Waldo Emerson said the same thing like this. Let us treat men and women well. Treat them as if they were real. Perhaps they are. It would be an easy experiment for me to get up in the pulpit and spout off the principles of Unitarian Universalism without thinking of what they actually meant. But when I was preparing this sermon, I sat down and I read the first principle over and over. And I realized that if I took it seriously, it would be one of the hardest things in the world to actually live out. For those of you who are newer to us, our first principle says that we affirm the inherent worth and dignity of every single person. Now, this would be really easy if we were talking about abstract people, but we're not. This means real people, just as we are. Tired, annoyed, hopeful and joyous, and sometimes all of the above. I have to tell you, it is so tempting to judge the actions of others based on what I see before me. Life is getting quick. I've got 30 seconds with a cashier, or it's a text message or an email. And I have to be really honest and say that it's a lot easier for me to make those assumptions about people with whom I already think I disagree. As Unitarian Universalists, I'll go ahead and say that we are not immune from the polarity that has infected this country as of late. I am as guilty as anyone else of thinking I know all I need to know about a human being by how they voted in the last election. Maybe the bumper sticker on their car. Maybe what church they go to or don't. I shouldn't be doing this, right? I'm a member of a thinking, enlightened, tolerant religious community. But I do it all the time. I wonder what it would look like if when we first saw someone, the question we asked in our mind was, I wonder what secrets you have. I wonder what great experience of pain or loss. I wonder what dream you hold that brought you here today. What would it look like to treat people as if they were real? So that seems a big enough challenge to treat other people like that. But if I'm going to be honest with you, I'll say that most of the time, I find that it's harder to treat myself like I'm real too. I doubt I'm the only one here who's found that it's a lot easier to define themselves in ways that are too simple and not accurate at all. It is deceptively easy to think I am my resume. I catch myself often constructing these visions of who I am, and they're filled with the things I didn't do on my to-do list. I think it's easier for us to remember that one critique or the one thing that went wrong in the face of 1,000 things that went right. There's plenty in our culture that survives only by telling you that you're not good enough yet. Well, I'm happy to be a part of a religious tradition that says that's wrong. You are good enough. Just as you entered this building today, and just as you will leave. We have a long history in this religious movement that says you don't need some outside force, you don't need some supernatural power or a religious figure to tell you that you have value. For me, this is universalism. What is sacred in the world is not going to leave you because of where you were born or what church you go to or who you love or the mistakes you made. It's here to stay. There is more to who we are. Each one of us lives such a full and complex life. Now, the tenets of UUism can seem like pretty flaky platitudes if that's all we ever do is say them out loud. But they weren't meant to be lived like that. They were meant to be lived in the lives of real flesh and blood human beings, like you and me. And it is not easy. I think some of the best advice I ever got in seminary was when a good friend of mine told me I should preach every sermon and write it, thinking that the character Job from the Hebrew Scriptures would be in the congregation listening on Sunday morning. Well, it hasn't taken me long in training for ministry to know that he is. She is. And we are. You have value here. Not despite your imperfections, but because of the full human being that you can offer to another person. I think, just like with those cards I read earlier, I'm astounded that a lot of times the people in our communities keep a secret from us the greatest things about themselves. The things that are amazing and wonderful and inspirational are sometimes a secret to themselves. We often forget how strong we can be if we need to. We forget how inspirational our story can be to someone else, or just how much power we have to change somebody's life. It's time to start taking yourself seriously. You deserve it. If we want to be a part of a religion that won't settle for an easy answer, we need to cultivate a spirit that makes us see a fuller version of ourselves and the world. And I think we have that in Unitarian Universalism. There is power in coming together in a community like this. Just like there are things we don't know and don't take seriously about other people, I think there's often things that we don't realize about this church. We have a right to take this place seriously, too, because we just don't offer the sacrament of coffee after the service. I have to admit to you that as a person who's studying to be a minister, it's really scary to admit that what we do might matter, that we might actually be doing something real and changing people's lives. Because if we start to believe that, we better go out and make it happen. This movement, full of imperfect people like you and me, will change things. And it's time. The vision of building a world that has justice here and not in some other world. A church that says you are welcome whoever you are. I can't keep this a secret anymore. It might sound strange, and I know it's not PC to say in a liberal church, but UUism has saved people's lives. The minister, Reverend Stephen Jonathan, tells this story often about receiving a letter about 30 years ago from a high school senior who was living in a rural town in Georgia. There was only one church in town to which she belonged, and everything she thought was right about the world didn't match with this community. She was told that she was different, that there was something horribly wrong with her, and she was thinking about committing suicide. She was working on a project in her class in which she was supposed to look up the United Nations and report back on what was wrong with it. And instead of doing that, she stumbled upon the entry for Unitarian Universalism. She wanted to know more. So when she wrote the minister, she sent him a letter that said this: "Please send pamphlets in a plain, unmarked envelope." When she went to the post office and opened that letter, she was home. and she soon became a Unitarian Universalist. She sent letters back and forth with this minister over the course of her life and finally got the courage to admit that Unitarian Universalism had saved her life, literally. The stories of this community affecting people's lives aren't always going to be as explicit as this, I think, but they're out there. I can tell you from personal experience that my life was radically altered by one person inviting me to a Unitarian Universalist church. I walked in and was shocked that this was a community of religious thinkers who wanted me to question what I heard coming out of the pulpit. They told me it was okay to be a person who didn't know what they believed or didn't believe or had flaws, and I was grateful. But I have to tell you this, I was a religion major in college, and I had never heard of Unitarian Universalism. It's still a secret, folks. This place and its work are real. Let's take it seriously. People who come who are tired or hopeful and dreaming will find that Unitarian Universalist people look a lot like they do. But each person's story is unique. And we know that we're not going to give anybody an easy answer, but there is more truth to be found. We can start living lives of compassion and justice right now without all those answers. Not bogged down by our imperfections, but enriched in knowing that we are not alone. We are not alone. My friends, this faith is a challenge, and it challenges us to reject the easy answer, whether that's about religion or other people in the world or yourself. And I don't want to stand up here and promote some kind of rose-colored glass view of the world that says, be nice to everybody. This is a view of the world that says every single part of creation is wonderful and has value, and that includes you. And we don't know what will happen when we die or tomorrow, and it's going to be terrible and scary and lovely and inspiring, and please come with us. That is what we've got to offer. A religion that will challenge this world is going to meet people just where they are and nowhere else. Let us find compassion in knowing that other people have secrets. Let's treat ourselves well in knowing that we do too. Let's find our calling together, opening our doors to anyone who wants to come in. Let us treat others and ourselves as if they were real. Perhaps they are. If I can borrow from one of the cards I spoke about earlier, I think we will accomplish great things within this lifetime. So what better time than now?